grace over our life, for the opportunity to gather unto you this morning. We worship you, we exalt you, we thank you for what you've been doing, what you've done, and what you continue to do in our life. Need our exalted. Let your kingdom come, Father. Let your will be done in our hearts as we gather unto you. We exalt you, we give you all the adoration. Blessed be your name. We worship you, we give you all the adoration, all the glory. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you, Father, for who you are, what you've been doing. Hallelujah to your great name. In Jesus' most precious name we worship.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to gather again once again this morning. We exalt your holy name. We thank you for your presence, for your grace that has pulled us through all this while. We thank you for the messages and the grace that you've shown us, for your patience with us, as you've continually shown us this love and grace to gather unto you, not unto ourselves, but to reveal your mind more to us, the grace for all of us to be able to truly yield in your presence, not only to just make up numbers, but to truly be transformed, to truly be sanctified, to be made anew in your presence. This is what we're praying for. If there's any kind of limitations in our heart that is preventing us from truly embracing or and experiencing your presence, but help us to overcome it in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over our household, over our lives, for you to be able to take preeminence, O Lord, for the wilderness and all the things that is encompassing us from truly yielding in your presence to be, for you to help us overcome it. Father, we submit ourselves underneath your mighty power. We humble ourselves this morning to truly be able to receive your love, to experience your presence, and to be able to go on to be a vessel to be used to reveal your glory in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Father, for this opportunity. In Jesus' most precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good morning. We thank God once again for another day in this presence. Thank you very much, Pastor, Pastor, Mrs. and everyone, for this opportunity. Today we're going our topic is it's like there's a reason this is coming back. You know, last Thursday we talked about storm proof life. You know, you say, why do you, you know, the text that was taken from Luke 6:46, you say, why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? And today, exactly, we're talking about the same thing, like do what God says. It is a, you know, when I saw this message, I said, like, there was more, that message was for me, that God wanted me to actually see this message again, because there's a lot of things that's been going on. You could see, you know, we know these words, right? We speak these words.
It's for me too, but, Brian. It's for me too.
I receive it, sir, Pastor, that I'll take it for myself. I'm not going to look at other people. I'm going to look at myself, that God is specifically telling us to, you know, to take you, you know, to take it to this word, because most of the time it's easy for us to speak this word, but to truly reflect, to ponder about it so that we can actually be productive, so that our fruits, they can stay, not just produce it and it dies off, but they can truly stay, you know, to be fruitful and, you know, produce fruits that stays, not just one that just lingers for a minute and, you know, and it dies off. And this is very reflective when you think about the way our walk with Christ is, because there's a reason Christ, specifically now Luke 6:46, that was used as a text for the previous one. He said, because he knows we hear all these messages, but he said, for us to truly be his disciple, to truly be his followers, we have to truly be able to manifest it. And that is why it's key. He said, do what God says. Not just listen to what God says, but do what he says. And our text that's taken from James is reflective of that. And that was one of the scriptures that we, I mean, one of those scriptures that we talked about in our last, last week Thursday. And we're going to go into that one again. There's another text that I was going to read that reflects, like I said, the conviction that came when I read this was, this is it. You know, everything that was stated in this devotional is, you know, it was like speaking my heart out. Because, you know, we hear these words, then we move to the next thing. We get convicted for a minute, then we, you know, go back to our normal ways. It is by his grace and his patience that we have this opportunity to hear this one. And as we continue to give ourselves to him, then we can truly be transformed by these words that is given to us. In our text today, it's taken from James 1:22, but I'll read from verse 19. and I'll read the New Living Translation for us. It says, listen and doing. It said, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. Even anger doesn't produce the righteousness God desires. So when you think about even those first two verses from 19 and 20, there's a depiction for us about the steps we need to do, like for us to be able to be quick to listen. Not, you know, most of us, you know, we hear this, you know, this message, and we're eager to speak it. I think about myself. There's a knowledge that comes, like then we want to really tell other people. But the message is mostly for us to be able to think deep into it and see, and you know, do it in an introspective, you know, take a introspect and think about ourselves. Like, are we really manifesting God's will? And the portion of it is, when he says you must be quick to listen, but slow to speak, so that you won't get angry or you won't miss the mark. That's how I see it from that perspective. Right? Right? So that miss the mark is because it's saying when we miss the mark, when he says now, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So God is desiring something. There's a product as we continue to yield in his presence. He wants us to truly be transformed from who we were to who he wants us to be, which is in Christ Jesus. Because when you look at it from perspective of Romans 12:2, it says, as we continue, as we don't give ourselves to the worldliness, as we give ourselves to God, then we are transformed, we are changed. So there's something. And in John 15, it was revealed that God wants us to be, you know, he wants us to produce fruit, and not the kind of fruit, the worldly fruit, but to, so like you said here, so we shouldn't miss the mark. So you say, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So God desires something from us. And it comes without hearing, listening, and manifesting it. Not just listen and move on, but yield in the presence and manifest it. So God wants us to be fruitful. He created us to be fruitful in that kind of experience. So from there, he said, so get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart, for he has power to save you. So for us, the impediments for us not to be able to, you know, to produce this righteousness are those things that are holding us to all the things that are all holding us from becoming who we are called to be. Because when you think about from the perspective also from Hebrew, from the book of Hebrew 12, about the things that those things we should get rid of, the things that are blocking us from letting God's word stay in our life, germinate, and produce the desired fruit that God wants us to produce. So get rid of all those things. And humbly, as we get rid of all those things through his equipment, not by our own equipment, but as we persevere in his presence, as we persevere in his presence. So from that perspective, when we now yield in his presence, humbly accept the word, accepting is not just to hear it so that we have head knowledge of it, but to be able to live it out. And that is, like I said, a great conviction in my heart and to all of us when you think about it. So accept these words God has planted in your hearts, for it has power to save your soul. Not just only just hear it and feel good, because we're going to go into a text that's going to say, just feel good for a moment and continue living the ways we see. So both, don't just listen to this word. Don't just accept it and just hear it for head knowledge. So don't just listen to God's word. You must do what he says, otherwise you're only fooling yourself. And that is the call for us today. That is our main text today. Just to do it. You know, if God is telling us not to continue to persevere in worry, but to come to him in prayer, but we continue to persevere in worry, that means we are not listening. We're just hearing. That is, you know, we are really not listening. You say, you know, for if you listen, you know, you say, but for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. And that's when the reflection of what happened in last week, like, you know, you said you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. So are you truly my disciple? Are you truly my family? Are you truly God's children when we you know, we just hear the word and we, you know, we speak the word, we reveal it, but we don't truly manifest. It's a for if you listen to the word and obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror, you see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But verse 25 says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, And if you do what it says, then, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you. And that is the key point. And that is the basis of what I want a devotion is today. And that verse 25 of that James 1:25, that if we look carefully into it, how do we look? By meditating, by pondering it, by contemplating it, into this law, into these God's words. That's, and his word, like we know, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he said, if you coming in knowledge of the truth sets us free. And if we look into this, you know, these law that sets us free, God's word in Christ Jesus that sets us free, that sets you free. If you do what it says, if you look carefully into it, if you meditate into it, if you give yourself into it and do it, because once we give ourselves, then we can manifest it. And once we manifest it, and don't forget it, and not just manifest it for a moment, but manifest it, then what we've heard, then God will bless us for doing it. Like he says, faith comes by hearing. But as we hear it, then we not need to abide in it. It's for you to now be able to germinate and produce fruit in our work. So it's that, is in our thoughts and also in our actively, that we manifest it actively. And that is key. So when you look at from this James 1:19-25, it is key for us to understand that is God's will for us. Like you said, even in verse 20, explained to us that God wants us to be productive. That is where, like, human anger doesn't produce the righteousness God desires. So God desires the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus, Christ's righteousness. So we have to give ourselves to Christ's ways and deeds. And verse 21, if you get rid of all the filth that holds us from humbly accepting God's word in our heart, that is planted, that has power to save us, if we get rid of those things, then we can manifest God's word. And I'll go to another text that I have today, because I think the devotion is self-explanatory. And when we roll through it, we can see that. I'll go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13 explains some things to us about Christ, about it's a parable of the seed. But when you think about it, it is God's word that is planted in our heart. Because when you look at it from John 15, Christ reveals something and is like, you've been pruned by the word that you have heard in John 15. The message from Christ is that we hear daily is pruned. He has pruned us. But if we don't abide in that word, then we are not going to be productive. We're just going to hear it for a minute. And that is the key point in our place in this Matthew 13. I'll read from verse 3. He said, he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. He said, listen, if a man went out to plant some seeds and he scattered them across the field, some seed fell on the footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns, grew up, and choked out the tender plants. Other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and 100 times as much as they had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. These key, and if you relate this particular Matthew 13 from the verses we've just read so far, from 3 to 9, when relate it with John 15, that is exactly it. Christ already revealed to us, as we produce more fruit, we are being, groomed to be more productive. But if we are not productive, then we fall off, then we are thrown away, because that means we are not productive. And when you think about it here, there's a portion of here that it says deep root. And that comes as we abide, and these words will have roots in us that will be established for us to truly be able to have the solid foundation in Christ to be able to now be more productive and to be able to manifest God's word. Because in us, if it doesn't tarry in us, if these words doesn't take deep roots in us, like you said, if we just listen and speak it only and not try by persevering daily to be able to at least manifest it. If God says I shouldn't do this, then I shouldn't do it. If I continue to persevere, if I even fall, let me go back and ask the beginning and persevere to do what he has told me to do, not continue to remain in perpetual state of worry, then I won't have solid footing, because I will always be worried. You know, I will always be angry. because I have not persevered. The day that the word came to my mind and God revealed to me, I don't continue to get angry over this issue. You don't have control over it. So just let it go, you know. But if I continue, if I persevere for a little, but next day I get worried. Next day, instead of me to now return to the word that is able, that has power to save me, and I don't return, then I continue in my perpetual state of worry. I continue to persevere in things that are God is not godly. Like he said here, these words, once they take root, you know, so we have to let it, we have to continue to abide in it so that the roots can now go deep, man, deep in Christ Jesus. Like he said here, they die because they didn't have deep roots. And well, let's continue in verse 10. He said, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to people? He replied, you're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, and more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even with what little understanding they will be taken from them. And that is the key point of listening and active listening and manifesting, because the call of our topic today is do, not hear what God is saying. God is as he said, like he said, you've been already pruned, because all of us have said the message. We come to church, we listen to this, we read the scriptures, we've heard the message. But now, the next step in our growth is to manifest it by abiding in the word. The call is, the conviction is, we don't abide in word. We listen and we use it, we speak it out. And like he said here, he said, you're permitted to understand the secret. The call is to understand it. But how do you understand? If it's knowledge, you know, you just, you know, it's an apparent knowledge. It's not deep knowledge. It's just a knowledge that, you know, one of the things I grew up with is I have an idea of most things, but it's just a, you know, master of everything. But you know, but you're not really, no, you have idea of anything, but you're not a master. You're master of none, because like you said, you're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding, because as we listen, as we yield, understanding will be given, but they will, as in, more understanding will be given as we continue to give ourselves to the word. But for those who are not listening, who are just hearing it, what little understanding they have, it will be taken. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. So we hear these words, but are we giving ourselves to the word to be able to now manifest it? Because the call is to be productive, to do the work. It's not only to just have the knowledge of it. Okay, you have knowledge of this, you know all these things, but do you practicalize? Just like, you know, the education that we, you know, education where we're from, there's a lot of theoretical things. Most of these PhD that teachers, they cannot do it. There's no environment for them to be able to manifest their knowledge. So it gets to a situation where this will not be nothing will be manifested, because, you know, it is just head knowledge. There's no environment to be able to manifest it. And the environment is out there. He said, the field is, you know, is ripe for harvest, for us to be able to truly manifest Christ-like behavior that comes from us yielding in his presence is out there. But, and there's an opportunity every day to continue to persevere, to make the right choice through the word that he has given to us. But they say they hear, but they don't really listen or understand. And that is the key point. They say, this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. Verse 15, it says, for the hearts of the people are ardent, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. And that is the key, because, you know, if we continue to persevere on our own, we are not keeping digging in and giving ourselves to God, then we will continue to use our own equipment. And that bars us from knowing that God can save us. Because, oh, there's worry, there's this, there's that, then we continue in that perpetual stretch of worry. Then I will overreact, and I'll do this instead of me coming to God. And God is telling me, just calm down. You know, do this. And once we and once we persevere in that thing, it might not be immediate. As once we continue to give ourselves, then we have solid footing. These words, they begin to go deep in us. Then we have solid foundation where the enemy cannot just be pushing us all around. He said, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parables about the farmer planting seeds. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message about the kingdom of God and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seeds that was planted in their hearts. You know, this comes to us. We hear some message and we don't really understand. Instead of us to now probe more, to open ourselves more, we just, oh, okay, I really don't know this. Most of it happened to in the book of John when Jesus had some disciples. I mean, he had some people that were following him based on the miracles that he has done. He has fed them, has done that. But when he now started giving them the true word of God that was meant to save them, not the food and not the miracles they've been seeing, they were like, who can understand this? Instead of them to open their hearts, they all left. And this happens to us too, because we're like, I don't understand what that man is saying. Then he said, then the seeds on the rocky, the seeds in verse 20 on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problem or are persecuted for believing God's word. And this is a representative of us. And I'll take it to, for myself, because we hear this message. There's a truth. There's a perceived truth. And we've talked about this in our workers' meeting. There's a perceived truth that we hear, that we embrace, we receive it with joy. But if we don't abide in it, if we don't ponder a way where the Holy Spirit now illuminates, because that is the call, that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, it will tell you more things for us to be able to yield now, that now manifests in us doing what He has called us to do. Because if we just hear it, just like I said, and we don't do it, then what good will it be? Just like the book of James says, they soon fall away as soon as they have problems, because we cannot persevere in His presence for our character to be strengthened. Persecuted for believing God's word. He said, the seed that fell among thorns represent those who hear the God's word, but all too quickly is crowded by the worries of life and the law of wealth. So no fruit is produced, and the call is to produce fruit. Just like in the book of John 15, the call is for us to be fruitful. Just like I read, and also now James. James 1:20, the call is for us, the desire of God is for us to be fruitful. The call from beginning, from Genesis, is to the equipment He gave us through creation and the creativity He gave us, it is to be productive, to reveal who He is, to glorify Him. And without yielding, we will not be productive. And that is the call. It said, the seed that fell among thorns represent those who hear the word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded by the worries of life. And this is a representative of us. Law of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seeds that fell on good soil represent those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce harvest of 30, 60, and 100 times as much as has been planted. This is the call of God's word to our hearts. So let's go through a devotion. Say, when you listen or read God's word, but don't apply it to your life, you deceive yourself. Also, the first point is you settle for knowledge rather than experience. And I say, I raise my hand up there. They say, instead of us we just have the head knowledge, we don't experience these words, because experience means living it out, manifesting it. Because it's easy to speak about it, but not living it out. They say, the Bible says, if anyone who knows what they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them in James 4:17. How does that grab you? It's already a great conviction in our heart. When you know the truth but don't act on it, you're simply making a mistake of exercising poor judgment. You're sinning. The Bible says knowledge without obedience is sin, because we know it. We know what to do, but we don't do it. Right? God has told us that we should trust Him, but we continue to remain in perpetual worry. It's that you compare yourself with others. And the second point, Paul writes, don't compare yourself with others in Galatians 6:4. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise, because we have, we make excuses like, that person is doing it too. But is that the yardstick? The yardstick is God. It is Christ. It is the word of God. And you know, if he's told us and through the Holy Spirit we've been revealed to these truths, then we should manifest these truths. You see, that enables you to remain carnal but comfortable. And the older you get, the more seasoned you become at doing it. Over time, you build a reservoir of responses. When the truth gets too close for comfort, you have one-on-one reasons why it applies to everyone except you. And this happens to us. You know, we've already built this, you know, this behavior that, because as I said, if we don't persevere for a little while in the word and manifest it, you know, we can do it for a minute, but we'll go back to what we used to do. Then over time, this resistance to be able to now truly do our goal, because now we have excuses. We've built up, the enemy has helped us, you know, has equipped us with a lot of things that we can use. Okay, yeah, okay, I can do it, you know, all those things. And the third one is, the word moves you briefly, but doesn't change you permanently. Just like we've seen in the parable, the word, you know, it captivates us, but the worries of life, you know, the laws of wealth and all those things. It's a, you know, the word moves you briefly, but doesn't change you permanently. But God wants this word. And that is the reason that we are called to remain in it, to ponder it, and now to not just remain in the word, but now to now manifest it by living it out. You see, there's nothing wrong with responding emotionally to spiritual truth. But if you go merrily on your way without changing your behavior in the slightest, your spirituality boils down to nothing more than a vapid emotional experience. And this happens. These truths comes and, you know, it convicts us, but we don't tarry for it. You said, embrace this word, accept this word that can change you. He has power to change you in James, in the book of James 1. And he has power to change you. Accept it. And if we don't accept it, then it boils down to just an emotional experience. The fourth one is, you substitute communication for transformation by speaking it instead of experiencing God's word that has power to change us. We just speak it, you know, and just multiple scriptures that I know now that I can talk about. So, but as those scriptures change in my life, you talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. You think if you speak eloquently and convincingly about a point of scripture, you're covered. After all, you are not. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. The key today is to do what God says. And it's a great conviction to all of us, especially me this month. But, you know, I can still be in the same circle of the fourth one. I can say all these things, but I still don't do what it says. And that is why the prayer is for us to truly give ourselves to this word. And as we persevere in little things, we begin, our character is strengthened to be able to persevere in major things, so that the word of God can truly grow deep, you know, it can have deep roots in us that build resistance for us not to go back to our old ways, but to continue to humbly yield in his presence, and he will continue to lead and guide us where we can now continue, now not just hear, but we listen. Most importantly, first faith comes by hearing, right? As we hear, then we listen. And we abide, then we now manifest it, where people can now see God. Because it's easy, okay, now, if you go and evangelize and speak, those people don't know you, right? But in the community that we are, we need to truly manifest God's will for people to truly see God in us. That is true changes. That is where we can truly, you know, be productive in our community. That is where God wants us. He said, what God desires is for us to be fruitful and for our fruit to abide. Let's have contribution this morning. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you for all those wonderful Bible verse that was actually used to bring us closer again today. Really appreciate all those Bible verses, and I pray, because I don't think let me speak for myself anyway. I don't think I've, gotten to that point, of doing everything that the word had said, the word of God says, and I'm just, trusting God every day that God will continue to, to help me, personally, Amen. And I believe for everyone as well. And one thing that I realized about this is, everything that was all the 4 points that was actually, being mentioned this morning, and all the Bible verse that have been, brought up again to remind us, it's all depend on, intentionality. So we have to be intentional about this. We need to actually prepare our mind that, okay, God, this is what I want to do, and ask God to assist us. Because remember, God has given us choice. It's now depend on which area that you fall into. And I like the part that last week was this almost the same topic. And I think one of the points that was listed there was also about, making choices, make the right choice. God has given us that room, like picking which area you want to fall into. And I think because of the choice that we have, make us to actually decide to be doing otherwise. Even though the best thing for us is to, as we read the word, not for just head knowledge, but application of it is really very vital. It's really much vital. And, if we actually look at the whole thing, being the doer of his word, not only the hearer alone, if we are actually the doer of the word of God, honestly, this world will be peaceful. Let's look at it from that angle. It will be peaceful. Even starting from individual, our homes will be peaceful. But because we just hear the word, honestly, mostly I will tell you that majority of us that we call ourselves Christians, majority of us, we are not different from the very first, seed that drop on the pathway. Honestly. Honestly, it just dropped. The moment it dropped, birds come in and they take it away. In fact, it doesn't even have any root at all. At all. Because we are too busy unnecessarily in so many things. Yesterday I was reading about, Mary and Martha, and I was asking myself that, Jimmy, which area did you fall into? Which area did you fall into? When we're talking about Mary and Martha, it's not even different from this. We get involved with something that has no meaning, something that is meaningless, something that could not even yield. And okay, it might quickly yield, prompt results, like immediate results, temporary results, but there's nothing permanent results when we put it together. And that was the same thing Mary and Martha did, Mary knows that the best thing is to actually keep, getting more from Christ, absorbing more. That the food or the whatever, the visitors will come later. Let me just put that one on the side. I don't even need to worry my brain, And it's because of the word of God. And, sometimes I find myself like, okay, am I actually, putting the word inside of me? Did I get carried away with things that's, in my environment? Did I get carried away? I asked myself that question many times. And every time when I find myself that I'm getting carried away, I always ask Holy Spirit, please bring me back. Bring me back to the resources. Bring me back to the main source. So I can absorb. I can actually soak myself in the word of God. That God help me, that as I'm soaking myself in your word, help me to leave it. Let me leave it. Because if we leave it, like I was saying initially, there will be peace in our hearts, peace in our environment, in our neighborhood, there will be peace. Because even, within our children, there will be peace. Because God, even in our marriage, there will be peace. because Colossians, you know, made mention of it. Because if we actually, you know, make best use of the word of God, then we won't provoke our children to anger. Then our children will obey their parents, you know, and also wife will be submissive. Okay. And also husband will love, you know, and masters will not be, he will not judge fairly, you know, and the slave will not be partial on what they are doing or be eye service, sorry, you know, eye service. If we all put all these words together, we'll see our life will change. And I pray that God will help all of us in the mighty name of Jesus. But we need to be determined, like I said from the onset. We need to be determined that God, this is what I want. And I believe God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you, man. That is the prayer, to be equipped so that we can, God can help us to manifest His will in our lives, because, you know, it is not just, I agree with you, man. Like, you know, those words, because before you even get deep roots, that means we've even given ourselves to it. But if we're carried away by all these things, there's no way for us to truly, you know, when you say test, you know, when you have like test and a test environment where we can manifest these things, but we're not even gonna, you know, the environment is out there for us to test it, because if we leave those truths, if we leave it out, then he encourages us to leave out all the truths of God's word that can change us, transform us, not just for us to communicate about it. Because yeah, we can, like, that's what, every time I think about that First Corinthians 13, when you think about that, you know what, and is it all those things is like nothing, because love is not the central point of it. But we need to really give ourselves to God's word to now manifest it. You know, if he says, I want to do this, like, you know, God's word is telling us to do this, then we'll start little by little by doing it, by giving ourselves, then, you know, these roots, you know, then these words will now begin to have solid footing in our lives, so that now we can we can continue to now do what He has called us to do. Then we can be able to hear the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not giving ourselves the truth to the word, we won't be able to hear the Holy Spirit now illuminate what God's mind is for us part time in that kind of situation. Thank you very much. Let's have more contributions, please.
Good morning, Sir Jamas. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor Ayo. That was a beautiful one by the grace of God. Thank you, Pastor Mrs. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. When you started, my brother, you were almost beating up yourself on the issue of the head knowledge of the scriptures. You have done well. We need the head knowledge. We need it. We need it. Be ye doers. It's what you know that you can do. If you don't know it, you won't be able to do it. So we cannot rule out acquiring knowledge of the word of God. So please, we need to keep on studying, you know, like Timothy said, study to show yourself approved. We keep studying and God will help us. But now, looking at the word of God, is viewed in two ways. It is either, is it logos and rhema? You know, we read it when we're looking at it as logos, we just read the word of God like literature, you know, we just read. But like you rightly said in your last statements now, we do not see the rhema part of it. In other words, we do not allow the Holy Spirit of God to kind of bring out our attention to some of the things that we have read that we could apply to our practical life. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need that in the place of meditation. When we read and we go back to meditate, you cannot meditate if you don't have the love of God. If you don't have the love of the word of God in your heart, you will not meditate on it. As soon as you finish reading, off you go. You will just go. Oh, but it is good for us to have the head knowledge of the fact that Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a deliverer. The word of God is settled forever. This and that. When we know all these things, and we allow the Holy Spirit to kind of breathe on it, to expatiate on it, then we can do. And I feel it, you know, this is just, I've just been thinking about this. Could it be that many times we always have entitlement rights to God? You know, it is when we need something that we begin to look at the word of God. The Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. It is only when we are sick. And so we are serving God at that point in time because we are looking for something. I'm looking at it this way, that if we can put entitlement aside, I'm not saying it is wrong and there's nothing wrong in it, but at least if we can see entitlement as one of the benefits, you know, that we will get from serving God, and serving God for who exactly he is. You know, loving him for who he is. Praying to him, not because, you know, the prayer all the time should not be, give me, give us, take this, take that, you know. When we do that, and then the love of God now in our heart will now help us to continue to do. Because it is not because we are looking for something that we are loving him. I don't know whether I'm able to put my thoughts correctly, you know, but I'm looking at it that way. It's just my thoughts, you know, that if you love somebody, you love that person for who he is, not because you want to take something from him or her. Even when that person says something, you sit down and examine it. If you love your husband and your husband says something, you look at the, because of the love you have for that your husband, you want to do what he has said. I don't know, but I pray that these thoughts, God will kind of build it up in us and give us more knowledge about it. It was just my thinking. I was just thinking about it. I said, God, let's love you without entitlement. If we love you not because of our entitlement, then we will be committed to you. The love we have for you will give us commitment to be doers of the word of God. The love we have for you will give us the opportunity to meditate upon your word. I pray that the Lord Almighty will expatiate this thought of mine. It's just my thoughts. Thank you very much. God
thank
bless
you very thank much. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ma. I think the thought is for us to truly be able to live out the life that God has called us to live, to be fruitful. Love is the centerpiece of it. Because when you think about, you say, what is the greatest command? The command is to love God. And by loving God will now help us to manifest his love in a community to be truly fruitful. Because, you know, even the evangelism that we have been called to, say, go and reveal Christ without love. That's why I say that 1 Corinthians 13 is the centerpiece, that if this love is not what is making us do, then we're not doing it for him. Because when you think about from a perspective of Ephesians, I mean, as in Romans 12:1, is it out of the abundance of what God has done us, what he has done for us, dying for us, giving us all the equipment, you know, sending Christ, giving us the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He now spurs us to worship him because we've now embraced the love he has shown us. And now we are loving him back by doing his will. He said, I have loved you. In that John 15, 16, it was written, yes. You know, what kind of love is this? To give yourself to us. I don't call you slaves anymore. To give yourself to a friend. So for us, that should spur us to now give ourselves by doing his will. See, you are my disciple if you do what I say. And the basis of doing, like you said, Matt, it is love. If we fully embrace God's love in our lives, then what he's telling us, or if we embrace it and experience it, because it's more of experience
not just hearing about it and, oh, okay, maybe it might be true. Then when we are not accepting it in our heart to like and experience it and embrace it, accept it, then we now manifest our love. Because even us obeying God is manifesting our love for Him. Mm. Worshiping Him is manifesting our love for Him out of the abundance of His love, because He loved us first. It's not that we love God. He loved us first. In 1 John 4, he's like, he's not like, you know, we love God. He loved us first by giving Himself. So now, how do we show our love? How do we manifest our love to Him? It's by doing His will. As we do His will, that means we are showing we love God. And as we now reveal His goodness to other people, that means we are loving those people, because it's love that is, that's why I say it's not because we tell them, ah, don't, you better change or you die. Now, the love that we've embraced with God is now pushing us to share that kind of love to other people. Like, no, this is the way, this is the path. You know, the love will now make us to be doers of His word. Thank you very much. I think, like you said, I hope God will open our hearts to open up that word that you just brought, because love is the centerpiece for us to truly be doers of God's will in our life. Thank you. More contributions, please. If we don't have any other contribution, I don't know if Pastor is available.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you very much, Brian. It's wonderful, wonderful work, sir. All the scripture that you've used, and understanding that all of these things require the help of the Holy Spirit. But like you said, and Pastor Mrs. and Mother Ladapo said, we need to be intentional about it. How do you make correction unless you know what your mistakes are? Unless you're open to see what error you made, you cannot correct them. So until we actually look at ourselves inward and then look at where we stand, we hear the word, we read the word, are we doing the word? If we're not doing the word, then it's now, this is why we have this platform that is daily. We are reminded that, okay, this is what God wants us to do. So we will not just be the hearer or reading. Many people read the Bible cover to cover 4 or 5 times a year. But when you look at their action, it doesn't even show that they even read one verse of the Bible. And that's not what we're talking about today. You can read it with experience, knowing that I have that reading ability to read through the Bible. But when you do not show what you're reading by acting in it, it's like a medical doctor that went to school to learn how to perform a surgery, read the book, did everything, and when she come to the table to perform the surgery, don't have any ability to do them. That means it's just ready just for reading it. But until you start practicing what you've read, then that what you read is just going to just be reading head knowledge. We need that knowledge to be able to exercise what God wants us to do, but it takes intentionality. We have to be intentional about it. We have to be committed to it. We have to first look at ourselves to say, God said this, and I'm doing this. I need to change. I need to change the way I'm doing things against what God wants to do. Because the Bible said, knowledge without obedience is a sin. You can know it. You can read it. You can understand it. But when you don't do it, it is a sin. It is a sin. Don't let the things of the world occupy you. Don't let the things of activities occupy you and not do things that God wants you to do. Many of us go to church. We just come to church. Just come to church. When the word is going on, when the real things is happening, when God is actually speaking, some of us are missing. We are busy doing other things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do other things in the church or anything, but when God wants to minister to us, sometimes we engage with a lot of things that are not necessary, just like Martha. We need to be intentional about encountering, having an encounter with the word of God. Because God Himself is the Word. And until we see ourselves in the Word that is preached, sometimes we hear the sermon, and what we hear that sermon, and quickly we think about somebody that sermon is speaking to, because someone's actually speaking to us. And that's why I was like, whatever I was talking to, this is me. And it is me that this talking to today. Is this talking to you? That is the question we want to ask ourselves. So we must be intentional about not just listening to the word and deceiving ourselves by not doing it. It is a sin when we hear it and we don't do it. May God help us. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not be able to do the word. You may hear it like we're saying it right now because you won't have any clue. You won't have any understanding. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit that will help you to put them into use. So this morning, you have to ask him to have mercy on you. All you have to do, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Have mercy on me. This morning, I believe that you died for me. I believe you rose from death for me. And I believe that you're the Son of God. This morning, I confess you as my Lord and personal Savior. From this moment, take over my life in the name of Jesus. If you say that prayer, we pray that the Holy Spirit fall upon you and start leading you, start directing your path in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Look for a Bible-believing church close to you. Tell them you've accepted Christ and they walk with you. If you can't find a church, go on the internet. Type rccg.org. You will find the Redeemed Christian Church of God close to you. Tell them you've accepted Christ and they walk with you. The rest of us, we've heard it. There is no reason for us to hear it and read it and don't do what is written. It's just of useless. It's like you going to school, studying engineering and not making use of that. It becomes useless. Certificate, you may have that certificate, but until you start using that certificate, it's of no use. You just carry a title. And may we not just be a title carrier. May we be an effective carrier of the word, that wherever we find ourselves, that word will walk in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Like Pastor Mission said, like Brian said, that, okay, there's some of these words, they just come in, fall on the side street. And as soon as they fall, there is a distraction from the devil to steal it. And what do? We go for the distraction instead of embracing the word so that word can marinate in our heart and produce good fruit. May that be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for your son that you've used mightily. Father, we pray that every virtue that have come out of him, replenish him back multiple fold in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, you did ask us to when we measure ourselves by ourselves and don't compare ourselves to others, but compare ourselves to your word, there is a difference that comes in our life because we acquire wisdom by doing that. Father, this morning, we pray that we've heard this word. We are not going to use this word to think it's speaking to somebody, but this word has spoken to us this morning. Father, we pray, let the wisdom of this word, let it germinate out of our heart in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that, Lord, this word, don't let it stand against us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We will not use this word to think that this is speaking of social supposition, but Lord, this is speaking of me. Father, this morning, Lord God Almighty, this word that I've heard, Father, let it grow, let it germinate good fruit out of my life, out of the ear of the listener, out of the heart of everyone that are on this table this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. The rest of the day is in your hand. Guide our step, direct our path. Let us produce good fruit that we bring good results to you, and let our fruit remain in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise, Lord. Give us the ability, the grace to do the word, to do your will, and to obey you to the end. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Let us share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
be with us now
and forevermore.
And forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
Surely.
Surely,
goodness and mercy
shall follow us
all the days of our life,
and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord
forever
and ever.
Amen.
I'm the one the Lord has blessed.
Let us be intentional. Let's try as much as possible. You know, let's just rely upon the Holy Spirit. Be intentional to say, God, I've heard your word. I've read your word this morning. Holy Spirit, help me to do it. And he will help us to get it done in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, everybody.